Welcome back to the Making Sense of Money podcast presented to you by P1FCU, where we tackle all the financial topics that matter the most to you. I'm your host, Tanis, and today we have Sydney Schatz. Welcome to the show, Sydney.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for being here. I'm jealous that this wasn't being done before I got married because there are questions on here that I'm like, oh, that's a good one. I thought you could just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, your business, and your experience as a wedding planner.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from North Idaho, born and raised here. I now have two beautiful kids. Both are December babies. So we just got through our busiest time of year. My husband and I have been married since 2018. We met in 2014 in college, and that's when I started my event career as well. So I started as a venue coordinator. I wanted to kind of dip my feet in, make sure it's something that I liked.
Yeah.
And then once I realized very quickly that, yep, I love this, type A, organized, want to boss people around, I quickly moved into a venue manager position. So then I worked there for a few years, to really get to know the industry, make sure I knew what I was doing, make sure I was comfortable with everything before I took on my own clients. And then in August of 2019, when we decided we wanted to start our family and give me a little bit more flexibility, I opened this business, A Piece of Harmony Events, and I haven't looked back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your experience and like your passion for this helped in your own wedding?
In my own wedding, yes. So people ask me all the time, did you plan your own wedding? Yes, I planned my own wedding, but I did not coordinate my own wedding.
Okay, gotcha.
I still valued that and brought in my own coordinator so that I didn't know what was happening on my wedding day. Here's my plans, execute it. So even then, I was like, no, I'll plan this. I know who to talk to. I know what I want.
Right.
But I don't want to execute it.
Yeah, that's probably for the best on that day. For couples who are just getting engaged, what does a typical wedding budget look like?
Yeah.
It can be scary.
Yeah, it can be. And it's hard to just throw out a number because then people are like, holy cow, what? So it's really, this is an open-ended question, right? Because I can't sit here and tell you how much you should or should not spend on your wedding.
Right.
It's so personal. So instead, what I tell couples is that there's not a right or wrong budget. It's how you spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make sure that you're figuring out what number is. I always say what's a comfortable number and then what's a stretch number.
Yeah.
So figure out what that is. And then we can allocate your funds intentionally to make sense for your wedding priorities that are also realistic. Like, you know, we still have what things cost, right? So there's still going to be those compromises, but it's what's going to make the most sense for you. So for our area, if we want to get down to numbers, for our area, because it really does vary across the country, an average wedding costs about $40,000.
Holy cannoli.
I know. But you can really do anywhere on either side of that spectrum, right? Like I've done over 200 weddings. So I have seen those weddings that are half or a third of that cost. We just have to be so intentional with those funds.
Yeah.
And then you have weddings who could easily spend double or triple that cost by just having these weekend experiences or having these larger wedding priorities. So one of the biggest things to engaged couples in general to think about is that's going to influence pretty much everything you do with your wedding planning is guest count. Guest count influences everything. So it's going to influence your venue, large, small, indoor, outdoor, your catering. You could go wide range of what you do with food.
Yeah.
Your rentals. Are you going to need to rent tables and chairs and tableware and linens and whatever that looks like? And then flowers. The more people you have, the more tables you have, the more centerpieces you need.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The larger wedding party you have, potentially the more boutonnieres and the more bouquets you need. Mm-hmm. So all of this is what crafts your wedding budget. So it's less about, I need to have this certain amount of money to have a wedding, because you don't. Weddings are a luxury. You don't need to have a wedding to have a beautiful, wonderful marriage. So instead of focusing on, I don't have this amount of money, I can't have this wedding, it's okay, here's the money that I do have. How can we make this work? And we can allocate those funds for it to be realistic, but also make sense for what we feel comfortable spending.
Gotcha. So you're like a wedding advisor. You're literally like on the financial side. It's like financial planning. You're like on the wedding side, which is so crucial because you as you're talking, I'm like, okay, yes, like these things are absolutely things you think about or we all think about, especially as brides. But I think that it's important to have someone like you help guide through, like, here's my Pinterest board.
Right.
How do we make this happen? And then like weed through all the things that maybe aren't necessary.
Yeah. Because Pinterest is just – Pinterest is Pinterest.
That's right? A dream.
Like, it's not real. It's not real. And that's hard for people to kind of wrap their minds around.
Gosh,
and every wedding has different priorities.
Right.
So you kind of have to – like, that's one of the first things that I ask couples is, like, what makes you excited about your wedding? Because it's going to be a different answer for everybody.
Right.
So and then that's how like can the we prioritize
that's
that?
That's the most important thing, too, is, like – that's a lot of stuff to think about. So what you do is pretty amazing for the guidance that you give, for sure. What about micro weddings? Are those more common? I mean, it's kind of like a buzzword nowadays, but.
A buzzword. That's a great way to put it. So it's funny that this question came up because just last week I was in an SEO class and we were talking about micro weddings. And actually, as a search trend right now, it's up by 1,300%.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
Which is a huge number.
Yeah.
So it's definitely still a popular term. Mm-hmm. I would say it was coined during that COVID era.
Sure.
When we had to have like 50 or less people.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were, that was, there was no other option. Now that we're post-COVID, it's clearly still an extremely popular term, but we're seeing the meaning of that change from being forced, if you will, to have these small guest counts to this desire for these couples to have this intimate wedding celebration and experience. Mm. So it's turning to these like wedding weekend experiences with like 50 to 75 of your closest friends and family who you're spending a lot of one-on-one time versus 200 of, you know, the whole town.
Yeah.
And you only have 3 or 4 hours in a reception to talk to all of
right.
them. So I would say it's different for everybody, but it's more of just an intimate celebration. And that micro wedding has become that buzzword of just what everybody refers to it as.
Got it. Yeah, because I mean, I got married during COVID and it was a COVID wedding and there was all sorts of crazy, you know, rules and restrictions and all sorts of things that were going on. But I would just, I remember calling it intimate versus micro.
Yes.
So it's like, I'm like, this is like a new like TikTok term, I feel. but so that's what it would mean really is just smaller, intimate.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the micro wedding is tough because it's not always cheap or for less money.
Oh, absolutely
right?
Not.
Like I've done lavish 35-person, you know, wedding experiences, but I've also done those 35 people where we're more focused on being present versus everything else.
What's so, important to
exactly,
you, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Where do you see couples spending the most money that they don't really need to?
Wedding favors. Please, couples, stop spending so much time and money on wedding favors because here's what happens. You spend the time, you spend the money, and then people are drinking. They're getting distracted. They're trying to grab all their things before the sparkler exit, and they get left behind.
Right.
And so then I have all of this waste and leftover, and these couples are not only bummed, but they're going, well, shoot, what do we do with these now?
Yeah.
So unless you're doing something that's like personalized or custom to the couple or to the wedding guest that night, which really turns into more of an experience because now it has a story, then skip the favors and just have good food, good drinks, and a dang good time.
Yes. And put that money towards your honeymoon or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think during COVID, my stepmom really wanted to do little hand sanitizers. So we still have hand sanitizers from
You're going to have them for years.
Yeah, we're still using them.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Where does spending more actually make the biggest difference?
Kind of like what I was saying before is the experiences.
Right.
Right. And this is such a broad term because just like every wedding couple's priorities are different, how they view that experience is different too. So it really depends on the couple, but this could be anything from like a good DJ or live band to like a micro tattoo artist to a late night hot dog stand, a unique photo booth experience. I've even had a few weddings where we bring in Butch, the WSU mascot, to surprise guests and he parties with them for like 2 hours.
Oh, that's so fun.
So it it's really those experiences. I break it down to couples with, like, how can we make your wedding memorable, mm-hmm. unique, and personal to you as a couple?
Yeah.
Don't look at those Pinterest weddings. Right. What can we do right. to make it so that it's your wedding, so that when you go to dinner parties or gatherings with your friends after your wedding, they're going, oh my gosh, do you yes. remember when so-and-so did A, B, and C? Yes. Oh, that was so cool.
Yes.
Like, that's how you want your wedding to be remembered, not, I got a hand sanitizer.
Yeah, 100%. I went to a wedding where they did have a, like, tattoo artist tattooing yes. them afterwards, and I was like, why didn't I think of that?
I know.
Like, that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
Maybe not during COVID, but
I know.
Still would have been very cool. You've kind of touched on this as you're talking, you know, why you are sure. valuable and why it would be important to hire a wedding coordinator. Yeah. Can you explain why that investment would be important?
Yeah. So I could sit here for the next 30 minutes that we don't have, yeah. you know, listing everything that I do, or, you know, kind of explaining that worth. But really what I think it breaks down to is that I am your protection policy. Like, you have spent so much hard-earned money and time on this one day or mm-hmm. one weekend that it really seems silly to me not to have someone in your corner mm-hmm. guiding you through the process to make sure all your T's are crossed, your I's are dotted, mm-hmm. giving you those vetted, trusted vendor recommendations, and then executing your wedding day with those plans so that you don't have to.
Right.
Because oftentimes on wedding days, things don't go right. So I'm there to troubleshoot, to manage any mishaps, to make the phone calls, to deal with any of the changes. And so oftentimes my couples, if something happens, they don't know about it
yeah.
until months, years, maybe never
right.
after the wedding day. Mm. Wedding planners are also going to be one of your biggest advocates during this process. Mm. So between vendor to vendor, all of those logistics go through us, and then you with your wedding party, and then also with family. Yeah. Oftentimes I find I'm like a family therapist.
Oh, absolutely.
Where we are like that third party outside mm-hmm. voice of reason, where they're mm-hmm. like, I want someone who's not related to me
right.
to bounce these ideas off of right. or tell me what's realistic or what can be done. Mm-hmm. So,
and really just like take the blinders off too yeah. in such a like an intense time. You know, yes. sometimes it might be nice to be like, well, let's, you know, you're giving your input on the favors, you know, the guest favors. It's like, but I really wanted that. But then when you have someone to break it down and like take the blinders off and be like, no, listen.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So that's a good perspective. You kind of answered this before. How many vendors do you work with for mm-hmm. one wedding?
Yeah. So this also kind of ranges depending on the wedding. I would say I work with roughly 8 to 10 vendors on okay. a wedding day. Gosh. Sometimes you have, I know, sometimes you have these all-inclusive venues where they have the food, the bar, the tables and chairs, you know, all of those things. So we're not bringing in quite as many vendors. Mm-hmm. But then you also have, I work with a lot of private residence weddings mm-hmm. or venues who just give you the space. Mm. So then you're needing a lot more hands on deck to bring all of those pieces together. So sometimes it could be upwards of like 15 vendors.
Gotcha.
But I would say on average between the traditional vendors involved in a wedding is probably 8 to 10.
Gotcha. So you do need to be organized in order to not drop the ball.
Yes. Yes.
Have you ever dropped the ball?
Oh gosh, I'm not revealing that.
Come on.
No.
This is a safe place.
The amount of, everybody's always like, how do you have everything so organized? The amount of lists and the amount of folders I have.
Oh, I could only imagine.
Like, I have folders on my email for each of the clients. I have folders in my physical folders in my office. Mm. I have folders on my computer. I have a planning program in my brain. Always going through all of the tabs.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Do you sleep?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Well, good. Good. This is a lot. This last question I have for you is one that we ask all of our guests.
Sure.
And that is, what is one thing you wish you've known about money earlier in life?
Yeah. So it's not wedding related at all. But the one thing my husband and I talk about actually quite frequently is investing in retirement accounts. We started our retirement accounts relatively early in life in the grand scheme of things. But when we started them, it was, you know, in your early 20s when we're like, we've got lots of time to work. We'll, you know, put money in as we can, but here and there. And then you plan the wedding, you have the kids, now the kids are taking all of your money and, you know, it's going towards other things. You buy a house. And so when we had that time and we had that money, we're like, man, we should have been investing even more. Mm-hmm. And having those aggressive investment accounts that are earning that interest and doing the work for us early so that down the road, we're not 75 still working and we can actually use the money that we put into those to relax and travel and spend time with grandkids or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's a very responsible answer and one that I
it's too, so boring, but
you know, it's so important, and educating yourself on it and just not being afraid of it and to ask the questions is huge.
Yeah.
So really great perspective. Thank you. And that is all I have for you. So thank you for
so quick.
Yes. Thank you for sharing all of your great feedback and all of your guidance that you can offer to our newly engaged viewers. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
And thank you to everybody for tuning in. We hope you learned something new today and feel one step closer to making sense of money. Don't forget to check out our newsletter and subscribe at p1fcu.org. We'll see you next time.